Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Sports in the Mitten, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, and follow me on Twitter, at AdamBiggers81. Today's episode, really going to keep it short and sweet, because I do have a little bit of work that I want to do and watch baseball, so obviously I'm pulling for the Dodgers. I do want to see JV get a ring, you know, that the Tigers fan in me does want to see that, but at the same time, I've always been a Dodgers fan since I was a little kid. You know, Kirk Gibson, Oral Hershiser, and kind of list goes young. Mike Piazza, saw some guys like I've mentioned before. Jock Peterson play up in 2011 with the Great Lakes Loons. Clayton Kershaw was actually there in 2007. I never saw him. But, yeah, anyway, so the baseball fan in me definitely got to pick one team in the World Series, right? And as much as I want to go with Verlander and the Astros, because I really like Jose Altuve, the Astros, you know, all around really good team, but pulling for the Dodgers. Anyway, talk about Michigan. Today is Michigan Basketball Media Day. Also met with Chris Partridge, linebackers and special teams coach, and running back coach Jay Harbaugh. Both of those guys spoke to the media today at Schembechler Hall. So those interviews are on my YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, share. And I'll go ahead and open up the chat room. So any questions you guys may have regarding Michigan football, definitely talk about that today. I do want to talk about Wilton Spate. I want to talk about Wilton a little bit. And then Michigan basketball. This won't be the official Michigan basketball preview, I guess, because I want to do one where it's combined Michigan and Michigan State, or one or the other. But I guess we can kind of make this an impromptu one anyway. So Aaron Quinney says, what up, though, Adam? Hey, Aaron, how's it going, man? Looks like you're the lone guy in the room tonight. So why don't you start off with a question? And again, if anybody's watching and doesn't want to comment in the live chat and watching, want to do it on Twitter, again, tweet me at AdamBiggers81. I'm going to go ahead and, probably one of the reasons why, Aaron, is I did not tweet the link. So let me do that right now. And then I'll get to your question. All right, Aaron, I know you're tired of the Peters talk, but it seems like Harbaugh seems more open to it now. I do agree to an extent, Aaron, that he does seem a little bit more open to it now. And since you're the only one here, I guess, hey, you're going to get my hot take, I guess, if you know, I'm not really known for that, I guess. But don't count out Wilton Spate. I think, you know, everybody's really talking about Brandon Peters right now, quarterback of the future. You know, I've talked a little bit about Dylan McCaffrey. I do think Dylan's going to factor into that race too. But that's the part of me that expects if Wilton Spate doesn't return. Because again, you know, three vertebrae and a neck injury, that's relatively serious. But, you know, there are different degrees, I suppose. But I'll tell you this. When I was leaving Schembechler Hall today, I ran into Wilton. He was walking up through the player's entrance. And then there's just the public entrance. You know, they're, you know, probably 15 feet, 20 feet apart, whatever. So as I was walking out, he was walking up the steps, you know, said hello, chatted for a second. He actually wished me well. He saw my tweet and, you know, about the job thing, which will be resolved. I'm still with FanRag until October 31st, but no neck brace. He looked good, man. I mean, you know, it's not, there wasn't anything to me that I could look at him and say, wow. You know, and obviously I can't tell if he's in pain, but I mean, if you're wearing a neck brace, you're probably in pain. If you're walking different, I mean, he just looked like regular Wilton Spate to me. I mean, he was in really good spirits. You know, he just turned around, hey, you know, good luck, man. I told him, you know, I wished him well, kind of that kind of thing. I mean, but nothing to me indicated, like, because I feel like I can read a little bit, you know, by personality, body language, and the personality and body language that Wilton Spate has shown us during the past couple of years is the same as what I saw today. So I'm going to actually write a column about that, and it'll be on FanRag tomorrow. So FanRagSports.com, Check that out at fanrag_u, and or on my Twitter at AdamBiggers81. And for those counting, that's the third personal Twitter plug. So Aaron says he gets the YouTube notification that you're live. Yeah, anybody else, if you're watching, you can, like I said, subscribe to the channel and you can get the notifications live. So Aaron Quinney says, I always enjoyed Wilt was the best. I always agreed that Wilt was the best option. His reads were good, just inaccurate. Well, and this year, I think, Aaron, is when we really kind of, you know, people were talking about inaccurate. I mean, last year he completed like 63% of his passes. It's the second highest completion rate in the Big Ten. You know, I mean, you've read my stuff. You've watched the podcast. You know, I've just spit out all of these Wilton Spate stats. And I do believe, and I have believed, I mean, Brady Hoke wanted to burn his red shirt. I mean, at the end of 2014. I mean, we're talking for a few games. You know, and they contemplated, excuse me, burning his red shirt. So, I've always thought that Wilton was the guy. I always thought that he's got a good work ethic, good attitude. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's got the athletic ability. So, I don't really see... I don't see any cons against it. And if he's healthy and returns next year, I do believe that he's the guy who starts. I mean, I believe, obviously, I think he'd still be starting right now, regardless of the injury. I think at some point with Wilton, we were going to, you know, and that's easy to say now because he got injured, he's not playing. So, but I think at some point, the offense probably would have clicked with Wilton. That's just my personal opinion. I do think that Wilton is the best quarterback that Michigan has. And if he returns next year, the scenario will be the same. He will still be the best quarterback that they have. Tommy D says, get that hat off. Go Verley. And Tommy, in the beginning of the show, man, I said, you know, I was really pulling for Verlander. I don't show my fandom in anything else, but baseball I will. So, I mean, obviously I'm a huge Tigers fan. And I have a ton of Verlander stuff. This little... I don't know, some signed balls, this rookie card, that sort of thing. I am a huge Justin Verlander fan, and I love Jose Altuve, too. I mean, and not just, well, part of it, you know, the little guy thing. You know, I wish that I could play like Jose Altuve, and he showed that he is one of those guys, and just like Dustin Pedroia shows, you don't have to be a big guy to be one of the best players in baseball. Size does not always matter in baseball. So, anyway... You know, part of me is pulling for Verlander, but as I explained to Aaron, I grew up, really, I liked the Dodgers. Oral Hershiser was one of my favorite pitchers for some reason. I mean, I was a big-time baseball card collector, if you can't tell, and that kind of thing. So, Kirk Gibson, one of my favorite all-time players. Jeff Hamilton from Flint, Carmen Ainsworth, played on the Dodgers 1988 World Series team. He actually gave hitting lessons to my catcher, Devin Celium. I run a Flint City League team during the summer with Doug Hyde, the Flint Wolves. And Devin actually got hitting lessons from him. So there's a lot there, you know, local ties too. And I guess that kind of trumps, I guess, any, you know, allegiance to the Tigers. Because if you're from Flint and you play on that team, you're automatically one of my favorite athletes just because. So anyway... Aaron Quinney says, if Peter's not better than John O'Korn right now, then is it fair to say he's not the future because the bar is low? Aaron, I don't necessarily know if it, you know, to say it, the bar is low, but I know that everybody wants to say that Brandon Peters is the future. And I think that, I don't think that's, you know, ridiculous to say, but that's past the Wilton Spate era. And kind of my point I was trying to make earlier was, I don't think the Wilton Spate era is done at Michigan. I don't. I don't think he's done. You know? I mean, he was already... And consider this, too. I mean, he was already a guy, like, when Jake Rudock transferred in, and, I mean, you looked at the roster already, and then with Peters coming in, you know, everybody's like... I mean, they're stacked at quarterback. Alex Malzone, I mean, Shane Morris was still there at the time. They're like, Wilton Spate was basically an afterthought. And then, you know, like I said, Jake Rudock gets there. He competed with Jake to the very end of camp for the starting job in 2015. I mean, and then we saw what he did on the road when Rudock got injured in Minnesota. I mean, we saw what he did in 2016, especially during those first nine games where Wilton was was legitimately playing like one of the best quarterbacks in college football. And I'm not saying that he was one. I'm saying statistically, and you know, he wasn't blowing you away with the stats, but Michigan was 9-0 rolling and Wilton Spate was running it, and at that time Michigan was viewed as one of the better teams of college football. I think it was fair to say, you know, you could throw at that time Wilton Spate was a player who was really being talked about. So let me maybe pump the brakes on it a little bit. He did finish as one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten, and that's not even debatable. Aaron says, really just pissed. We're going to have another bowl game in Florida. I was there last year versus Florida State, year before versus Florida, even the Clowney game versus Carolina. I want somewhere new to travel. Aaron, I was at the Citrus Bowl and the Orange Bowl as well. And it's I liked Orlando. Hey, how about that? Where the Citrus Bowl is, if anybody's out there has ever been to Orlando, where the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl, where they you know, host it, is in kind of a sketchy neighborhood, man. Did you notice that? I mean, there was a media shuttle from the hotel out there, and I just remember, you know, I was staying at the Rosen Plaza, so I was kind of like in a touristy area. You know, and it was like Disney wasn't too far and a bunch of shopping centers and stuff. And I'm like, okay, so we start going east a little bit, hop on, start going north. Mm-hmm. And I was like, kind of looking around. I was like, this, you know, kind of looks a little sketchy. And then, you know, get out in the parking lot. And then at night you get out at, you know, the game was over and I'm walking out. I actually rode back to my hotel with Kenny Allen's parents. Just by luck, I ended up running into them. I had seen them earlier. They're from, Kenny went to Fenton, his older brother Jimmy went to Fenton. So I ran into them, and just by chance, I ended up catching a ride back with them. And I remember, you know, we were all talking about it, and it was starting to get dark, and we were looking around like, man, this is, you know, kind of a sketchy neighborhood a little bit. Aaron Quinn, yeah, man, super shady. My buddy lives close in Winter Park, so he knows the area. Yeah, and I mean, I've seen some areas. Detroit, Pontiac has some. Saginaw, you know, I remember one time I had to go to Saginaw News. That wasn't in the best area. I mean, when I was at the Flint Journal, you know, when I get out at night, that's right by the bus station. So you know, you get a lot of people. A guy tried to break into my car one time. Funny story. This dude tried to break into my car, and I chased him down. He told me his name was David Robinson, and I'm like, no, seriously, what's your real name? Because, you know, I'm thinking David Robinson, the Admiral, San Antonio Spurs, and his name really was David Robinson. But, he was like on medicines. I'm trying to think of, like, mentally handicapped, you know. So he didn't do any damage to my car. He tried to get in there, but he didn't really do any damage, just a little scratch. So he's actually... left his house, which was on the Pier Road, right down the road. I walked him back to his house, and so, yeah, crazy story. He wasn't on his medicine that day. Anyway, Demario Vaughn says, up, Adam, what have you been talking about today? Not a whole lot. I've been waiting for all you guys to get in here. Aaron Quinney and I have been having a one-on-one, so I've talked about Will and Spade a little bit. Go up if you can in the comments. Michigan Basketball Media Day was today. And I did mention I want to keep it a little bit shorter because I want to watch game two, and I have a little bit of work that I want to do. I have a column on, don't count out Wilton Spate. That's basically the column. And I explained probably, you know, at least three of the main points already to Aaron. So, but Aaron, you're still going to read it, right? Even though I already explained it. Cameron Clark says, hey, Adam, hey, Cameron. Aaron Quinney, cool Saturday night after Florida State game, was hanging out with Delano, DeMonte, and Mo Hurst in the hotel. Aaron, actually, when I was walking from the field at the Orange Bowl, I was right behind DeMonte. Or no, right, it was Channing Stribling. Yes, it was Channing Stribling. I'm sorry. Anyway, I was behind Channing Stribling, and he threw his gloves up to a kid in the stands. I was like, man, that was a Coca-Cola commercial. It was kind of funny. I was on the field when Chris Evans scored the touchdown and Josh, that was like 33 yards. And then the field was shaking. I was right on Michigan's sideline, you know, right near the players. I think I actually posted video. It's way out, it's far back on my Twitter if you can find it. But I posted video of that. But I actually posted video on Twitter of our escort too. We rode in a big, huge charter bus. Jorge, our driver, we have police escorts the whole highway. If anybody was down there, if you remember seeing buses coming down that were led by a convoy of police, that was the media shuttle. So that was pretty cool actually. Jorge was driving that thing like a pro, man, like a NASCAR, a huge bus. I'm telling you, man, this was the biggest charter bus I've ever been on. It felt like it wasn't a normal sized charter bus. And all these cars, you know, you look down and you're seeing, you know, the cars are like 7 feet below you, and you just, it was crazy. Cameron Clark says my brother was down there. Yeah, ask him, Cameron, about if you remember seeing that. Jagu Notepad says, good job on the questions you ask at Bowes Hall. Thanks, Jagu. DeMario, thoughts on how the basketball team will do this year? There are a lot of unknowns, man. A lot of unknowns. And I had some interviews up, actually. I didn't even talk to that many people. I sat down, you know, spent like 10 minutes with Mo Wagner, like, you know, 10, 15 minutes with Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, and like 15 with Saadi Washington. I didn't really get a chance to go around until I wanted to talk to, you know, Jordan Poole and Isaiah Livers, and, you know, but I think I got a good grasp on it. And when you talk to Mo and Mar, it's not there, and Beeline, there are a lot of unknowns. But I think what is known is that Mo Wagner is going to be one of the best bigs in the Big Ten, probably in the country. He gained a lot going through the NBA combine. He is pretty confident. He knows that he could play in the NBA, basically, is what Beeline was saying. And but at the same time, I asked Mo, I said, you know, you got a lot of attention at the end of last year, and now it's even bigger this year. And he doesn't care. You know, he's like, he doesn't play basketball to be on any preseason watch list, he told me. He said he plays to compete. You can see it. There's Mo Wagner still has that edge to him, but he's kind of, you know, I guess it's just maturity, a little more refined. But at the same time, Mo is one of those guys, and this is what I enjoy about Mo Wagner, is he doesn't give you sugar-coated answers. You know, he doesn't just give you kind of fluffy stuff. He tells you what he's really thinking. So check those interviews out. My phone was acting crazy, so I had to do them in two parts. My battery was getting low. So both of those are on my YouTube channel, part one and two, with Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, part one and two, and then three parts of John Beilein's full press conference, and then a 15-minute video. It let me go 15 for some reason on that one, with Saadi Washington, an assistant. So any other Michigan basketball questions, fire away. DeMario, there are a lot of unknowns. I mean, there's a three-man competition at point guard right now. And John Beilein said he's honest. He even joked. He said he's got like a quarterback controversy at point guard. And if you look at the roster, I mean, Xavier Simpson obviously is going to be one. I think that a lot of people kind of expect. But I mean, Jaron Simmons, you know, Jaron's got a lot of experience too. So I mean, to me, those are probably the top two candidates. But it sounds like John Teske is doing well. Austin Davis behind him. I mean, Duncan Robinson playing the four. You know, I imagine 3-4, I'm sure. And again, I didn't get a chance to talk to, you know, anybody else. E.B. Watson, I didn't talk to him. I didn't talk to Isaiah Livers. I didn't talk to Xavier Simpson or Jordan Poole or Charles Matthews. I just kind of sat down and had pretty good conversations with Wagner and Abdul-Rahman. So I apologize. Maybe I didn't get enough video today. I don't know. Parth Patel, did you get a chance to check out MSU's Hoop Squad at Midnight Madness? No, I did not, Parth. They're going to be good, though. They're loaded. Michigan State, if you guys have any Michigan State basketball questions, I'll take those too. Michigan State's loaded up front, and this is probably Tom Izzo's most complete front court. I don't think it's his most complete back court, but I think that it's pretty easy to say this is his most complete front court. And then if you factor in Miles Bridges is going to essentially do all the things that Denzel Valentine, doing all the things that Denzel Valentine did, and that means that Miles won't have to really subject himself to guarding fours. He won't have to get as physical. He won't have to rebound as much. He's going to be more of the guy that just makes everything go. He's going to do a little bit of everything. So, Iron Cross says, just got here. Ah. Jagu Notepad says, we could beat Wisconsin, but JT Barrett runs. Minnesota will be a challenge. Demario Vaughn says, Miles Bridges can be the National Player of the Year. Yeah, I think so. I really do think so. Cameron Clark, you want the Dodgers to win. Cameron, yeah, I do, but I, you know, I'm a huge Verlander fan. I already showed off my little, I have a Verlander figure back there, some Verlander baseballs around here, rookie card. I love Justin Verlander, one of my favorite players of all time. Obviously, I'm a Tigers fan, but I do have a childhood allegiance to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And Flint Carmen Ainsworth, Jeff Hamilton, played in the 88 World Series. So, and I really do like the Astros, but I think Dodgers in six is what I think. Iron Cross said, missed the football. We could talk football. We haven't even really got started yet, guys, even though we're going on 21 minutes. I would like to at least cap it at like 35 or 40. But I'll take questions kind of late. Everyone late joining, except for Aaron Quinney. Says, man, damn, State is going to murder us in hoops and we can only play once. Michigan State's pretty loaded. I will say that. But at the same time, we saw Michigan. I mean, Michigan was good last year. Michigan State was still decent last year. Injuries aside, Michigan State was still decent last year. And the Wolverines just blew them out. I remember that. They remember that. Cameron Clark says, am I happy about Minnesota being a night game? Indifferent. Cameron Clark says, I want JV to win. He's going to get them tonight. I do want Justin Verlander. I mean, I'm not going to be mad if the Astros win, you know, but I would love to see Justin Verlander get a World Series ring. I think Altuve and, you know, the rest of those guys, Correa, they're going to have their chances. I think, you know, just Justin Verlander's window is shrinking. And, I mean, he's already going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I think that World Series ring just kind of will top it off for him. I mean, he's won the Cy Young, American League MVP. What else is there? What else is eluding him? That one World Series ring. He's been in the World Series. This is his third one. But doesn't have a ring. So that part of me, I would have no problem with it. And yeah, Rich Hill tonight pitching for the Dodgers, Michigan. Former Michigan standout. Jagu Notepad says, looking forward to seeing Xavier Tillman, went to school blocks away. Yeah, you know, Xavier Tillman, really great. This, and I have an interview with him on my YouTube channel. Scroll down. That's from Michigan State Basketball Media Day. Very mature. I was impressed. There are a few guys over the years who really impressed me with like their maturity, their demeanor. At both schools, Michigan and Michigan State. Tum Tum always has. Xavier Tillman, and I was impressed with Xavier when I had him on my podcast about a year and a half ago, right after he committed to Michigan State. And I did not feel like I was talking to a high school kid, you know. And we've had other guys, you know, at that time we had other recruits on the show. And I mean, not every high school senior is, you know, skilled at giving an interview. You know, I know that I probably wasn't. But Xavier Tillman just sounded, I felt like I was talking to, you know, a college senior, not a high school senior. Very, very mature. And Tom Izzo complimented his hands. I remember Kenny Goins telling me that, you know, initially they looked at Xavier as a guy who may redshirt, but he's really proven himself throughout practice so far. So I wouldn't be surprised if Xavier Tillman is part of that. And I mean, and again, that loaded front court. Jaren Jackson, possible one and done. I mean, Xavier Tillman, you're going to have all kinds of depth. Kenny Goins, you know, and we're not even talking, you know, Gavin Schilling, Ben Carter, and then Nick Ward. I think Nick Ward's going to be one of the best power forwards in the country. I mean, you're talking some serious firepower up front for the Spartans. And this is a team that I do expect, you know, a Final Four. This is Tom Izzo's window isn't getting any bigger for Final Four or National Championship. This might be the kind of team to do it. Cameron Clark says, hate that JV couldn't get a ring with the Tigers, but he'd be happy if he gets one. He deserves it. I agree. Judah the Cushite Pharaoh says, I hope so. Big fan. Aaron Quinney, Coach B always took him out because he was getting abused. Who are you talking about, Aaron? Parth Patel says, Jaren Jackson needs to put on some weight. The kid is built like a stick. Yeah, but he could shoot. He could shoot. He's not just necessarily like an inside guy. He's going to have the presence, you know, tipping, rebounding, that kind of stuff. But he does have a little bit of range. Kenny Goins was telling me that. Then Nick Ward, interview with Nick Ward. Watch those. They detail. I talked a lot about the front court with those guys. Marcel Woods, how many times has Michigan and Michigan State played this year? I think it's once this year. Let me see. And then starting next year, they adjust the schedule and like how they protect the rivalries. Michigan and Michigan State will always play twice. And someone knows before me. I think it is once. Yes, it is once, and it's Saturday, January 13th, noon at Michigan State, and that's on Fox. So that's even at Michigan State. That's Michigan State's going to be good. I'm chalking that up as a road loss right now for the Wolverines. So Cameron Clark says Michigan State's going to be tough. They have no excuse not to make the Final Four. I do agree. Yeah, so Marcel, one time, Aaron Quinney says I'm talking to Judah about Duncan. Okay, Duncan Robinson, DeMario Vaughn says Adam, comma. Jegu Notepad, it's time to see last year's high school football All-Americans play. Are you talking about at Michigan? I don't know. They're 5-2. It's not DeMario, so disregard that, Adam. Jegu, I don't know. I don't think that it's if you're talking about Michigan football, I don't think that, you know, it's time to like throw in the towel or anything. Yeah, no, they're 5-2. Next three games are very much winnable. Very much. There's possibility of finishing 9-3. I think 8-4 is likely. Still potential for a 9 or a 10 win season. And then a third 10 win season under Jim Harbaugh. I don't think there's anything to complain about that. You know, I've gone over this infinite amount of times. I don't think there's anything to be upset about. And I really believe, look at these offensive numbers. You tell me another team in the country that has 15 offensive touchdowns and has won 5 games. I would really love to see. I want to know. And I'm too lazy to look up the stats. But I do really believe that Michigan's coaching does deserve some criticism. But at the same time, maybe it deserves a little bit of praise too. Because show me some other 5-win teams that have 11 rushing touchdowns and 4 passing touchdowns. 4 passing touchdowns. I'd almost guarantee there's not another one in the country. Marcel Woods says, if Michigan finds a solid point guard and Duncan Robinson finds some dog in him, Michigan makes it to the Final Four. Hashtag book it. Michigan was slept on last year, weren't they? But I mean, they're going to miss Derek Walton. There's no question in my mind. They're going to miss Derek Walton. Cameron Clark says, maybe we can make a New Year's Six Bowl. I mean, I don't know if they'll make a New Year's Six Bowl, maybe, but my whole point has been that at 5-2 and given all these offensive struggles, I do not think it's time to throw in the towel. I don't think the season's over. And yeah, the Wolverines have fallen out of the top 25. I mean, they fell a rank for winning. You know, they fell a couple spots for winning. That one didn't really make a lot of sense to me. I mean, and again, if you show me another team in the country that has 4 passing touchdowns, 11 rushing touchdowns, 15 total offensive touchdowns, and has won 5 games, I would almost guarantee there isn't another one. Cameron Clark, predictions versus Rutgers. Well, it is Wednesday. I'll give my official prediction right now. Somehow, some way, Michigan is going to find some offense. Somehow, some way. If it doesn't, then we're not going to see it for the rest of the year. This is the game right now that's going to show if Michigan has any type of higher gear of offense. So I'm going to say that Michigan puts up a season high 42. Rutgers struggles against Michigan's defense. I don't think they scored two touchdowns. Let's go with last week's score, what Penn State did to Michigan 42 to 13. I'm going to predict 42-13. Michigan does that to Rutgers. And part of me is saying, why are you sure 42? But again, if this is not the game that Michigan's offense pours it on somebody, then it's not going to happen. Cameron Clark says he has to work that night, so I'm pissed. Judah the Cushite Pharaoh says receivers can't get open in three steps. Aaron Quinney says Michigan's first two series versus Penn State, first and second run up the gut, third down pass, predictable. That play calling's trash. Dave DeMar, that almost rhymed, Aaron. That was nice, thanks. Cameron Clark says I have to work that night, so never mind. DeMario Vaughn says I want to see a USC versus Michigan bowl game. That'd be a hell of a matchup. Just, I mean, fan base wise, two story programs. Throw it back like it's the late 80s. Pretend it's the Rose Bowl. Marcel Woods says sorry. Marcel Woods says the next three games Michigan needs to score over 28, I think. Marcel, agree or disagree, man. If this is not the game that Michigan pours on some offense and just runs up a score, season high, if Michigan doesn't do it Saturday, it's not going to do it for the rest of the year. Agree or disagree? How many of you in here agree or disagree? Cameron Clark says, should have never got that job at Walmart. Hey, Cameron, it's a job. No shame. No shame in earning a paycheck. I once had a part-time job at Genesee Valley Mall, and there was a fancy title for it, but I'm going to tell you what I really did was I pushed a cart and swept a broom. I was like a sanitation. They would seriously call it like a sanitation engineer or something, something like that. I'm like, you mean I'm a janitor, right? Yeah, I did that. It was like Christmas time of 2002, I think. I was like 20, 21, almost 21. Needed a job, so I did that. It was the holiday season. I actually had like three part-time jobs. So whatever it is, man, whatever your hustle is, paycheck is a paycheck. DeMario Vaughn says, Adam, have you been in Cortland Center Mall? That place is a ghost town. Yes, I have, DeMario. Actually, I don't live too far from Cortland. Yeah, it is. There is like nothing in there other than Dunham's, the Chinese buffet, JCPenney, or is that Sears? I think it's JCPenney or Macy's, JCPenney, and then I think Planet Fitness. And then like there was like a little Foot Locker in there. Yeah, there's really nothing in there. And what kills me is there's like people who have kiosks in there. And I'm like, the big stores aren't getting business. Nobody's coming into your vitamin kiosk. I mean, come on, man. Like what are you doing there? I feel like you're waiting. Go get a space at Genesee Valley Mall. That's the only mall that has anything going on. But back in the 90s, Cortland, I mean, with the movie theater, I mean, Cortland was like another place. We always went to Genesee Valley Mall, go to Aladdin's Castle, and play Street Fighter 2. Kick some butt. Not breaking any hands though, playing. No. GDRCO says, I think the receivers could certainly find some room for a three-step drop by a quality Q. We have some big boys. Harbaugh just doesn't coach for that. Quality Q, what do you mean? Am I missing something here? DeMario Vaughn says, growing up, Cortland had a lot of business. Yeah, it did. I mean, it's weird. I mean, Miller Road definitely was the main business area, but I mean, Cortland Center definitely. For the movie theater, we used to go to the movie theater that was actually further down Court, like by Belsey Road. You remember that one? That's torn down. Jagu Notepad says, the running backs are having a hard time blocking. Cameron Clark says, the guy from NC is an idiot. yeah, Joel Berry, what, he broke his hands playing Xbox or whatever. Marcel Woods says, what do you think about Brad Hawkins moving to Viper? Kind of scary against tight end. I mean, I still like Kalik. I mean, Brad going there, I mean, it gives him some depth. I mean, Josh Metellus, you know, was backing up. I know Jordan Glasgow in consideration. I mean, they're going to have a lot of candidates for it. I think Brad Hawkins is a guy. Chris Partridge talked about that today, and that interview's on my YouTube channel. Big body guy, and he's not afraid of contact. So, and I think that's, you know, not afraid of contact, and he's good in the box. That's kind of like his area of expertise, Partridge was saying. That's what you want in a Viper. Somebody, you know, close in line to scrimmage, read plays, disrupt plays, get some pressure on the quarterback, tackles for losses, that sort of thing, match up against tight ends. And I don't know if, you know, if they're looking at the Penn State game and saying, okay, wow, we have to totally reevaluate what we're doing at Viper, but at the same time, they're always evaluating everything on a minute-by-minute basis, so. Cameron Clark says he gets mad when he loses that 2K, but damn, he lost it. Demario Vaughn says, I grew up right off Court Street, went to that theater all the time. Yeah, the one, you know what I'm talking about, the one right past Genesee Road, in between like Genesee and Belsey. It's right by where Walmart, that huge Walmart is now. Cameron Clark says, everyone in this chat room needs to watch The Good Doctor on ABC. It's amazing. I may have, hopefully, it depends on what happens. I think I'll have a landing spot after October 31st, kind of crossing my fingers. But if not, I may be having some extra time to watch TV. So if that's the case, I'll check it out. Demario Vaughn says, is Mason Cole the only guy we lose on the offensive line after this year? Yes. Well, Patrick Kugler, he's a fifth-year senior. So Patrick and Mason. But yeah, Bredesen will come back. Grant Newsom, you know, maybe. You know, Jawan Bushel-Beatty will be back. John Runyon Jr. will be back. Nolan Aluzio, Cesar Ruiz. I imagine Caesar's probably center next year. Grant's healthy, probably left tackle. Cameron Clark says, are you still going to do these podcasts no matter what? As long as you guys want me to do these podcasts, I mean, I know, you know, for those who don't know, after October 31st, unfortunately, I'll no longer be a part of FanRag Sports or going in a different direction, and I'm not part of that. So, you know, great run, but, you know, as of right now, still kind of trying to see where the next landing spot's going to be. I am optimistic, but if I'm not a bona fide member of the media and you guys still want to watch the podcast, I'd be more than happy to do them. I have a lot of fun with these. But I think everything will be all right. Michigan gave me a basketball credential today and parking passes. So thank you, Tara, at Michigan for that. So I think it's safe to say that they know that I'm not going to be gone for long and that I'll be around for the season. That's the plan. GDRCO says, consider crowdfunding Patreon. I haven't. I have not. I wouldn't mind doing that, but Aaron Quitty says, never thought I would see the day I wanted Kyle Kalis back. Hey, Kyle was good. Cameron Clark says, what are you going to write about? Michigan still? Yeah, I mean, I feel like, well, I mean, since 2012, I've covered Michigan football. Since 2014, as full-time, at, you know, that's my job. 2012, I was still getting paid, but it was more like a freelance basis on Bleacher Report. So, yeah, I mean, that's the plan. I'm kind of used to it now, right? I'm a creature of habit, very much a routine guy. So if I don't have the opportunity to ask questions every Monday and go to player availabilities on Tuesday, coordinators Wednesday, games on Saturday, I really don't know what the hell I'm gonna do with my time. But don't worry, somebody'll hire me. Jagu Notepad says, you need a two-hour show. So I think we've gone an hour on here before, haven't we, guys? I think 45 minutes seems to be the average. We're going on 40 minutes right now. Demario Vaughn says, yes, please, Adam. You're the only guy who has any sense in this Michigan world. Hey, I appreciate Demario. And guys, again, I really appreciate, you know, a lot of people on Twitter. I've gotten a bunch of text messages on Facebook and stuff. And I really appreciate it. You guys know that I love what I do, and you know, I pride myself on trying to be the best possible, and, you know, I had a lot of fun doing this, so I don't think it's over, but You know, if it is, it is. That's gotta live with it, but I kind of feel like I work too hard and I love it too much. I can't just let it go. Marcel Wood says, let's start a debate show. Cameron Clark says, after losses, you calm me down a little bit. Thank you, Cameron. Cameron Clark says, would you write for the Tigers? That'd be sweet. I actually, a couple of years ago, before the Free Press hired, what was it? It's Anthony Fenech. A bunch of my friends were like, man, you should apply for the Tigers beat writer job. And I was actually talking about that today with Kevin Goheen of Land of 10.com. He used to cover the Cincinnati Reds. And he was telling, can you imagine though being a baseball beat writer? That is a brutal schedule. February to fall. I mean, your spring training, then you still have, you know, hot stove over the winter, you know, player meetings and all that kind of stuff. And covering baseball, I mean, 162 games. I mean, that is a grind. People have to have a lot of respect for people who are full-time Major League Baseball beat writers. Those guys grind their asses off. Like, you know, I mean, I have a lot of respect for the, you know, covering college football and covering college basketball. You know, that's a ton of games. But I mean, you're 162. Like, whoa. And that's a regular season. I mean, if it, you know, if you cover a really good team, you know, you're going into October, early November, maybe. So, DeMario Vaughn says, apply for the OC job at Michigan. Jay Notepad says you could cover high school Lions. You're good for Michigan sports. I appreciate it. I used to Jay Gu, I used actually used to cover a lot of high school sports. I started out at the Flint Journal in 2009. Bruce Gunther gave me my first job. Still the best boss I've ever had. To this day, remains, you know, a good friend, and I enjoyed it. Flint, especially around Flint. Flint has so much high school history. It's ridiculous, and so much athletic history. It's like, I feel like growing up in the Flint area was like the perfect place. I always wanted to be a sports writer ever since I was a kid. So I used to write all my school papers on sports all the time. I remember I wrote like a little book in third grade. We had to like, you know, use wallpaper and stuff and make it. And I wrote a book about Barry Sanders. So it's always been in me. And yeah, around the Flint area, I feel like that's a perfect. There's a lot of knowledgeable sports in Michigan in general, because we love our sports in Michigan. There are a lot of knowledgeable fans and a lot of people, you know, grow up around a certain sport, you know, whether you're hockey or football, basketball. I mean, it's pretty deep here. Really cool. DeMario Vaughn says, what high school in Flint did you go to? I didn't go to high school in Flint, DeMario. I grew up at Swartz Creek. So I went to Swartz Creek and then went to high school for a year in Indianapolis with my dad. And then I moved to Clarkston my senior year and with my uncle. So I bounced around a little bit, but I grew up in Swartz Creek. I had a lot of friends that went to Flint, Carmen Ainsworth. I had some friends that went to Northern. Had a buddy who played soccer at Southwestern. I used to take the Euroride to Southwestern so I could go see Charlie Bell play. Jegu Notepad says, I find the MLive sport reporting ridiculous. DeMario Vaughn, remember the Flint Generals. Do I? Where's my generals? I have some general stuff around here somewhere. Yes, I do. The Flint Jet. If you're from Flint, the Flint Generals, that used to be the game. That used to be the place to be. That was the sporting event. The sporting event. I do have to say, DeMario, though, they've done a lot of, like, Judge Duncan Beagle. You know, a lot of people in the Flint area. They've contributed a lot in turn. You know, Kettering. Atwood Stadium is pretty cool now for high school football. They hold a lot of stuff up there. It's too bad, you know, there's the Thanksgiving game. Central Northern's no longer. There's only one Flint High School, but yeah, I mean, there's a ton. Where'd you go, DeMario? I live right by Flint Central right now. But yeah, I remember the Flint Generals. Aaron Quinney says everybody on here should turn up after the bowl game. Unfortunately, probably in the D at Little Caesars Bowl. Shaking my head. He'll be. Hey, if you're a Michigan fan, you gotta stick with them, right? It's your team. It hasn't been the year. I think it hasn't been the year that people who had really lofty expectations expected. But it's been the kind of year, a little bit slower on offense. But I'm not surprised that they're 5-2. I mean, I did think, you know, given the offensive struggles, I did think they'd go into Penn State undefeated, though. That was my preseason prediction. I did think we'd see two undefeated teams. at Penn State. Aaron Quinney says, you know the Flint Fury semi-pro they played at Atwood? Yeah, I actually used to, I wrote a few stories about the Flint Fury and the Flint Rampage. I had some buddies who played for the Flint Fury. I remember, shoot, forgive me, I'm forgetting his name. It's been a little, Krishan Verdun. Krishan played for the Flint Fury. And his little brother, Ayres Hargrove, ended up playing college football in Wisconsin. And, yeah. Bunch of those guys. I'm trying to remember. There was a guy. He was a really good running back at Beecher. He played for the Fury too. Short guy, but he was like a little tank. God, I cannot remember his name right now. It's been so long. This has been like 7 years. But yeah, there was a Spygate incident. I remember I was in the office, and they called me up, a guy from like the Rampage or the Fury, and they're like, "Yeah, they're spying on our practices. We saw him up there with a video camera." Because at Southwestern, there's a big hill, right? And then you walk down, they have a football practice field, baseball field, and everything, and track, and or football field. They played there, not just practice. But he said, yeah, they're up there with video cameras. So I wrote a story about it, and I got some people riled up in the comment section. So good times. DeMario went to Atherton. I coached at Atherton. JV and varsity baseball for 2 years. And actually, one of my favorite players is actually a graduate student now at Michigan. So that's been a long time. And he was a sophomore when I coached there. So, like I said, Flint's pretty cool for sports. It really is. I feel fortunate to have made all these connections around here. And you know, like all the high school football coaches and all that stuff still remember me from the Flint Journal. It's a lot of fun. If you get the chance to do it, I recommend it. You guys have any Michigan basketball questions though? Any Michigan football questions? I will answer those. DeMario says terrible for everything. Yeah, well, I remember Marquel Montgomery, Marquel Hunter Arcand's at Michigan. Marquel's at Lake Erie College. I think he's playing football down there, and he would be, I believe he's a junior right now. And Marquel was pretty good. Marquel didn't play a ton of baseball, but left-handed, super fast. Got him in center field. He did well for a guy who didn't grow up playing baseball. He's very athletic. Aaron Quinney says the squad was Discount Athletics, Hoop Team, Trannon, Torbert, McClavish. Aaron, where are you from? You must be from around here. Cameron Clark, will Kareem Walker be used more? Today, Jay Harbaugh was asked that question and he answered it. And Kareem Walker got one carry because, I mean, they're delegating carries, you know, and roles due to what's seen in practice. So, you know, if you're seeing ties that get the most carries against Rutgers, it's because Ty Isaac had the best practice. If you're seeing Chris or Karan, even Kareem. So, I mean, I know a lot of people like to, you know, kind of expand on, okay, what if Kareem, well, he had one carry for 8 yards, so if he has, you know, 10 carries, he's going to have 80 yards. You know what I mean? That's not true, I guess. And, you know, people are like, well, that one 8 yard carry or 10 yard carry or whatever. I mean, I guess the easy answer for Kareem is just he is not practicing as well as everybody else, and that's why he's not getting, you know, very many carries. That's what I took away from Jay Harbaugh's interview today. Cameron Clark been disappointed with Evans. I expected Chris to have a pretty good year. Remember, guys, in the beginning of the year, you guys were asking me, and I even wrote about it. Does Chris Evans have the potential to be a 1,000-yard rusher? Because he had 630 some as a true freshman. Average 7 yards per carry. Yeah, what, like six touchdowns? Yeah, I remember that. I'll own that. Marcel Woods, when do you think we see the second string? I mean, Michigan's playing to win, man. As long as, I don't see Jim Harbaugh being the kind of coach that's going to just throw in the flag. But listen, they have said, at least with quarterback, that Braden Peters is one play away. Tim Drevno said it. Jim Harbaugh said it. There's any change, you know, if that happens, that happens. But I mean, I don't imagine, you know, that we're, you know, automatically going to just see a total revamp of who's starting. Cameron Clark says, you talking about practice. What practice? Practice? Karen, my hope is that Peters could play the whole fourth quarter against Rutgers. I mean, and if Michigan does what I think Michigan can do to Rutgers, then yeah, I wouldn't doubt if we saw Brandon Peters in for the majority of the fourth quarter. You know, if Michigan can go on there and cruise, you know, to 28-0, 28-10, something like that. Maybe we see Brandon, you know, late in the third quarter. But if not, I mean, I do think we're going to see him at some point. Because I do, like I said, I expect Michigan to turn up its offense. If it's going to do it, this is the time it's got to do it, right? And it's got to be against Rutgers. That's the most vulnerable opponent. That's the, you know, it is what it is, right? Plus that whole FOIA thing, you know. If Penn State can hold on to 49-10 for a year, Michigan can hold on to the FOIA gate for 10 weeks, right? Because that was a couple weeks before the season started, or a week before the season started. Cameron Clark says, I like McCaffrey better, though. So Marcel Woods says, so Peters takes over for the year. You think Wilton Spate plays his fifth year elsewhere? Marcel, I think if, I mean, that's, you know, that's to be determined. But I think if Wilton comes back, and again, I'm going to write a column about this tomorrow. I think it's still Wilton Spate. If he comes back healthy, I ran into him today. I don't know if you caught that in the beginning of the show. I talked about it. Ran into him today at Sean Beckler. He looked like regular Wilton Spate to me. We chatted for a quick second. He saw my tweet, you know, about job ending at FANRAG. Wished me well. I said, hey, you know, get healthy. Good luck. He's a good dude, you know. Competitor. Has always been. You know, Michigan wanted to burn his red shirt, and Hoke wanted to burn his red shirt at the end of 2014. He competed with Jake Rudock for the starting job. I think we, you know, saw what he was capable of against on the road at Minnesota. That touchdown pass to JU, game winner. We saw what he was capable of during the first nine games of the season before the Iowa loss. We saw, you know, when he's completely healthy, I think that he is the best quarterback option for Michigan and will be if he's back next year. Cameron Clark says, Wilton will have to earn it. Wilton is a nice guy. I met him last year. Aaron Quinney says, DPJ looks young. Tariq injury hurts. I mean, Donovan is young, but I think he's coming along. I mean, I do. I mean, and yeah, three catches, you know, not the biggest deal in the world, right? But, I mean, it was some type of production, and he tied with Grant Perry for the most catches against Penn State. I mean, and that was against a really good Penn State defense. So, I mean, I don't think – if you look at Diamond Peoples-Jones, I think your glass has to be half full. This is not a glass half empty kind of guy. It's glass half full. He's corrected some problems, right? I mean, look – I mean, in the beginning of the year, he wouldn't even wave down a punt. So, I mean, we've seen him break out for some big plays. Jet sweeps, returns, you know, 44 yards, 15 yards. You know, he's got some shake to him. He will make plays. I think that he's got elusiveness. If you guys remember, and I remember seeing Justice Hayes in high school, Diamond Peoples-Jones, his speed and his elusiveness a little bit reminds me of Justice Hayes. Justice Hayes, it never happened at Michigan for Justice Hayes, but Justice Hayes was, I remember Fred Jackson Sr., a former running backs coach, and I remember Joe Delaney, the coach at Grand Blanc, telling me that Justice Hayes could juke somebody in a phone booth. And I believe it. I've seen it happen. Justice was a superhuman high school player, right? One time he was committed to Notre Dame. So I think Donovan Peoples-Jones has a similar ability. When I look at Donovan, I can see, you know, peak Justice Hayes. Aaron Quinney says, DPJ is not quick in space, though. He's a strider. Rather, he be on kick return other than punt return. Iron Cross says, Peters needs to get in against Rutgers. Guys, we're going on 55 minutes. We'll cap it at an hour. We'll just call it an hour. Marcel Woods says, I think us Michigan fans got caught up in recruiting all these high four and five stars. I do agree with that. Marcel Woods. Exactly, because, I mean, who's the guy? Wilton Spate was a three-star. He was a three-star quarterback. And he beat out Shane Morris, was a five-star. Alex Malzone was a four-star, at one time, I believe. Was he still a four-star when he committed? I think that he was. Brandon Peters, you know, high four-star. Dylan McCaffrey. And who's still the quarterback? A three-star, Wilton Spate. Mario Vaughn says, star rankings mean nothing. I totally agree with you. I bought into Derek Green. I did. I believed the hype. I saw his high school film. Wasn't overly impressed, I thought, but I was looking more, okay, what could be in the future? You know, this guy could get, you know, slimmed down a little bit, get quicker, and he couldn't control his weight at Michigan. Didn't have the career at Michigan that I think a lot of people thought he was going to have. And, I mean, Devion Smith was a four-star running back, you know, and Devion ended up having a much better career. And nobody was talking about Devion. Marcel Wood said everybody bought in. Yeah, I mean, if there's – and I try not to do – I mean, I all the way Rashawn Gary. I bought in with Rashawn Gary. I mean, that's very easy. That's very easy to do. If you don't buy into Rashawn Gary, you're just being stubborn. But, yeah, that's – you know, I bought into Charles Thomas. I think, you know, I do this very, very few times. Charles Thomas is a 2019 linebacker commit from Michigan. I do this very few times. But yes, I did buy into Derek Green. I did. Carolyn Clark says, I like Kirk Taylor. Want to see him play. Jacob Notepad says, DPJ is fast, but is still trying to learn how to run in college. He ran one of the fastest 200 meters in the state. It'll take time. I mean, and I think a lot of people expected immediate superstar. I mean, I remember talking preseason projections. People were asking me, do I see any All-Americans? And I said, okay, Wilton Spate has the type of year that I think he can have. Maybe he's an All-American. Mason Cole, I said, maybe Mason Cole has an All-American year. And again, this is, you know, high projections for an offense. You know, I didn't foresee this amount of problems. I really didn't. I could see a little bit of stumbles in the beginning, but this prolonged thing, and it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is. I just did not see the offensive line struggling like this. So that prediction is kind of null and void. But then I also said I wouldn't be surprised if Donovan Peoples-Jones is, you know, like all freshman Big Ten. I don't think that's going to happen now unless, you know, he really does something in these next five games. I don't think it was wrong to project a lot of good things for some of these young players, but you know, you do got to kind of approach it with caution. And at the same time, if it doesn't mean, and I think Michigan fans as a whole, guys, and you know, you could back me up on this, let me know if this is how you really feel. I mean, after years and years and years of just high profile, I mean, Sam McGuffey was supposed to be the guy, right? I mean, Devin Gardner was a pretty high rated recruit. I mean, all kinds of guys, and I feel like you know, recruit rankings and all the hype, and it's been, you know, a lot of disappointment in some of these players, you know, not living up to the previous, you know, previous billing for one reason or another. And I think that kind of forces the issue a little bit, because it's like, man, these freshmen, okay, these guys are good. These have to be better than the guys at Hoke and Rich Rod recruit, you know, along those lines. And it increases expectations. Cameron Clark says, I love Joe Milton. That dude's got a rocket arm. Holy crap. Why, have you seen, I'm assuming you guys have watched this film, man. Joe Milton's got a freaking cannon. Accuracy, though, with him is an issue. Because I think last year, not this past year, 2016, I think he completed like 46% of his passes, or 44%. Cameron Clark says he sees Cam Newton in him. DeMario Vaughn says Joe Milton has all the potential to be great. Yeah, I do. I like Joe Milton. I do. And I've talked about next year, if Wilton's not back, I think it's a race. Don't discount Joe Milton out of that if Wilton's not back. Matt Crandon says accuracy is better than strength. I agree, Matt. Cameron Clark says, I think Harbaugh will fix that, give it 2 years. Matt Crittenden says, Budak better than Spate. I don't know. I don't agree with that, Matt. I think peak Wilton Spate is better than Jake Rudock. Jake Rudock that we saw in Michigan. They didn't really start expanding. And I guess that's even kind of unfair, because they didn't even really start expanding, you know, the passing game until the next year. 2015 was kind of relatively mundane. A little bit. But I thought that in 2016 is when, last season is when it really started to take a step forward. So I think it's kind of unfair to even draw that comparison. But if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. Marcel Woods says, are you sure you don't want to start a debate show? DeMario Vaughn and Kevin Doyle looks decent too. Matt Crittenden, nope. Yeah, we'll agree to disagree, Matt. But again, I mean, I think it's, different comparing two different offensive ideas, basically. What was the idea in 2015 compared to what was the idea in 2016? I think in 2016, it was a given that it was going to open up a little bit, right? I mean, you had all these really experienced players. You had a Mackey tight end and Jake Butt. You had Amara Darboh, J.U. Chessan. Amara was fantastic. J.U. was fantastic. So I think, I think that expanded offense, better, mature, whatever you want to call it. The guys are mature, more experienced, and then that allowed Wilton Spate to get in there. So it's I do think it's a little, maybe not unfair, but you can't draw like a direct comparison. McCaffrey will beat out Peters in the spring, says Iron Cross. Cameron Clark says Milton is a gamer. He would do well in Michigan. Richard Ford, why does the rest of the country hate on Michigan so bad? It's a good question, Richard. I think a lot of it does start, there's a lot of people who, and you read these tweets, Michigan fans, there is an air, some of them, there is a little bit of arrogance and entitlement. I mean, and I think there's a lot of, Notre Dame fans have some of that, Texas fans. When you're a blue blood program, or accustomed to winning, there is a little bit of that self-confidence. And I think that people around the country, them, and I do think this is a valid point. I mean, Michigan, I mean, that's really like three Big Ten titles and a share of a national championship in the past 20 years. I mean, and when we're talking about recent success right now, Michigan has not had a lot of recent success. So I think people outside of that look at it and say, look, why is it, why are these Michigan fans so brash? And Michigan hasn't really won anything yet. And a lot of people did get cocky when Jim Harbaugh got here. And I sensed a little bit, I sense a little bit, and I don't even want to call it cocky, but I mean, there was definitely a boost in confidence in players when Jim Harbaugh got here. That's just a given. So I think that's why. But I mean, you can't hate, I don't think you can hate Harbaugh. He's one of the best coaches in the game. And again, show me another team, I mentioned this earlier, that has 11 passing touchdowns or 11 rushing touchdowns and 4 rushing touchdowns on the year and has won 5 games. Show me another team with that number, and I bet there's not another one in the country. DeMario Vaughn says, so entitled for no reason. No, I don't think it's for no reason. I mean, Michigan's heritage, all-time winningest program in the history of college football, 42 Big Ten titles. I mean, I don't think, Bo Schembechler, there's all types of history, all these great players, Heisman winners, Desmond, even non-Heisman winners, Anthony Carter, one of the best. I mean, there's plenty of reason to be a proud Michigan fan and be, a little bit like, hey, Michigan is one of the best programs in college football. But I do think there's a line, and I think that the people that go over the line and the extreme examples, and then I think when people see that and they're like, oh, well, every Michigan fan is just cocky and full of themselves, and I don't think that that's the case. I think there's a lot, I mean, I think there's a lot of Michigan State fans who got cocky, real cocky. And then last year, a humbling experience for a lot of Michigan State fans, and I think that just goes with the territory, college football, especially. College football fans are some of the, I mean, Alabama, Alabama obviously has a recent history, but I mean, I'm remembering back, I don't remember Alabama really being all that great in the 90s. Nick Saban definitely. Past 15 years, he hasn't been there 15 years, but I mean, since past decade at least, Alabama football has been, the cream of the crop. So anyway, Cameron Clark says, or Cameron Clark, I trust Harbaugh. If he can't save us, no one can. I do agree with that. Iron Cross says Michigan will be fine. I do agree with that. Marcel Woods, what do you think about Michigan and Notre Dame renewing the series? Great for college football, great for the series. Like I mentioned this before, those games, Michigan versus Notre Dame, Michigan versus Michigan State, Michigan versus Ohio State, those are the kind of games that, you know, especially if you lived in this area, you grew up watching. You know, Notre Dame was on TV here when I was a kid. So, those are the kind of games that I think fans want to see. And again, Notre Dame, I mean, Notre Dame is one of the proudest, you know, fan bases in college football. You know, when you have that type of history, and some people say, "Oh, well, living in the past." Well, I mean, if you are a program like Michigan or Notre Dame, and you go back to 1897, yeah, you could talk about all these games. I mean, even with Michigan and Michigan State, Michigan State and Notre Dame, Michigan State's played some decent games against Notre Dame, with, you know, since Mark D'Antonio's got there. But what do people still remain, you know? Every single year, there are always features, there are always going to be the stories about the 1966 10-10 tie. And hell yeah, that's living in the past. That's, you know, 51 years ago. But at the same time, that's what other schools can claim that. So there's nothing wrong with, you know, being proud of a team's heritage and all that stuff. It's just, I think some people has got to, you know, there's always those extreme fans that are super cocky. Mario Vaughn says Notre Dame is really good this year. Yes, they are. Cameron Clark says fans are allowed to be cocky, not like we are on the team. We have no impact on the game. Well, I think, Cameron, fans do have an impact on the game. A home game, loud crowds. I mean, players say that. Fans impact the game. Absolutely. The players get amped up when they see fans in the stands. I will tell you this. There is not one Michigan player who doesn't want to look up in the stand, in Michigan basketball or football player or any sport, that doesn't want to look up in the stands and see a bunch of diehard Michigan fans with banners and all decked out in Michigan gear cheering them on. That's exactly what they want to see. So yeah, fans have an impact on the game. Cameron Clark says, "I don't hate Notre Dame mainly because they're Catholic." Well, that's good. Rudy, I still will never get over how the whole Rudy story was basically a fraud. At least the really good parts about them turning, you know, all the players turning in the jerseys and things like that. Joe Montana a few years back debunked that because I think he was a freshman on that team, I think. And yeah. I've never been a Notre Dame fan, really. I loved Rocket Ishmael when I was a kid. Loved Rocket Ishmael. Ron Paulus, for some reason, and Rick Meyer, you know, there are a couple good quarterbacks, but was huge, huge, huge Rocket Ishmael fan. DeMario Vaughn, college football playoff prediction before I bounce. I'm gonna say that one, DeMario. I don't know yet. I wanna see how Penn State and Ohio State shake out before I say that, because it's gonna be one of them. Cameron Clark says, "Love their helmets." Yeah, they're. I mean, what? And really, I mean, Notre Dame. I mean, the fight song, the helmets, everything. Notre Dame's got all that. Notre Dame can, you know, go 20 more years without winning a national championship, and I mean, and Notre Dame fans are still going to be Notre Dame fans. I mean, that's, and like I think with Michigan fans, that's another team. The Texas fans, you know, teams like that. Florida fans, when if you're just used to your team winning. And that's how it is, especially if you grew up watching them win, and that's, you know, I guess that's enough. JU Notepad says Urban Meyer has only won Big Ten championship in the last 6 years. And Mark D'Antonio guy's been pretty good. That's one of the reasons. Iron Cross is a big fan of the Elvis led 91 team, the Chucky game. LMFAO. Cameron Clark says their stadium is cool too. Yes. Play like a champion today, that little sign. I'm going off what I saw on Rudy. Matt Crittenden says, "Sorry, I got into the live stream late. Do you talk about football or basketball too?" I talk about basketball, football, Michigan State, primarily Big Ten. I mean, very little. I haven't been doing the live. Well, I did the live streams over the summer. We didn't talk really about baseball, but I mean, I'll talk about anything. But I like to keep it on Michigan and Michigan State. Kevin Clark says, I grew up with Michigan losing and I still love them. But did you grow up in a Michigan family? Because your Michigan family grew up watching them win. So, unless you just chose Michigan. Jagu Notepad says, D'Antonio was 6 wins, 7 losses in his third year. Yep, he was. All right, guys, we are an hour and 10. So, okay, Jagu, you were saying someone said I need a 2-hour show. We got an hour show tonight. I do have to go, guys. It's 8 o'clock. Want to watch baseball. I need to eat and get on this Wilton Spate column for tomorrow. Check out my videos, though, on my YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, share. Have Media Day basketball videos. Sorry I didn't get to every player, but I did. I think I had a pretty good conversation with Mo Wagner and Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, so check those out. There's parts 1 and 2 for both of those on there. John Beilein's press conference and assistant Saadi Washington. So appreciate you guys taking the time to watch this, ask questions. As usual, it was a lot of fun. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Follow the podcast at Mitten Sports MI. Like on Facebook, Sports in the Mitten. So I'm Adam. I'll talk to you guys probably, let's see, Friday, Saturday will be the Rutgers game. I'll probably have at least a couple more this week, and the show will go on. As long as you guys watch it, the show will go on. Have a good one, guys.